will change later. Okay, first of all, today is the by the way, if you listen to the Israeli radio at 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, I just got in after davening, and I exactly 6 o'clock I get in, I turn on the radio, and they give you the date. They gave the wrong date and the wrong sphera. The guy was reading Friday's date and Friday's sphera. I couldn't believe my ears. I don't know if someone corrected them afterwards, but what a busha. Okay, today is the 22nd of April. It's also the 22nd in sphera. The calendar and the sphera right now are in sync. And I want to say hello to my students in front of me and to all those listening across the world. I want to say a few words about Yom HaTzmut and Chag HaZikaron. I've gotten a lot of questions from all over the world. First of all, I want to dedicate this shiur in honor of Miriam Peretz. I trust everyone knows who I'm talking about. My one of my grandsons called last night. He generally calls Friday, but I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early, so already by 5 o'clock we were Shabbos tick. I was setting for shul. And he might have called them, but they didn't get an answer, so he called last night. And they asked me if I heard the speech. I said, I heard highlights. He said, Sabu, you have to hear the speech. So I heard it this morning. I have to say, I have never heard a talk like it. It is on the level of the Rub's Kol Dodi Dofeik. Every sentence has meaning. Every sentence has to be analyzed. This woman is a genius. And Lo Aleinu, two sons killed, buried. And in between, her husband, I saw this in other cases I know, where a boy was killed in the army, killed in battle. It's amazing. The fathers couldn't handle it. The fathers died right afterwards. So she spoke. She lost a son, a dear husband, and a son. The emunah, the understanding. And you compare her to Natalie Portman, Shem Rishon Yerkov. I mean, this woman, she should have said that we used Arab blood in baking matzah for Pesach. I never could understand. 150 years ago in Damascus, there was a blood libel. A more modern worlder, I could never understand. How can there be a blood libel? Well, have you heard what Portman said, what the New York Times said? We're shooting children who are at a picnic on the border with Gaza. It's beyond comprehension. No, Baruch Hashem, Jews accusing us of taking blood and baking matzah. That's what it amounts to. It's overwhelming, and it's overwhelming. And then, if you follow the news,
she's keeping the money.
Money is the least of it. It's beyond words. She toned down. She's opposed to Netanyahu. Everyone, Sabagan, all these famous liberals opposed to Netanyahu. Tell me, we have a democracy here? Yes or no? You believe in democracy? You don't believe in democracy? I got my best lecture in 77. You probably don't remember. Begin was elected. He was, you know, it wasn't direct elections, but there was enough for Yigal Adin. There was a hope. You read about it. I lived it. They were dancing in the streets of Machne Yehuda. I can never forget the day when Begin was obviously was becoming prime minister. So Yitzhak Ben Aaron was the head of the Histadrut. You remember the name? He lived to be close to 100. Ribbono Shel Olam evidently didn't want him upstairs. So Yitzhak Ben Aaron, an old mapamnik, so they asked him, how do you like the results of the election? He says, no, we have to call off the election and vote again and limit who can vote. They say, but don't you believe in democracy? And this, he said, Bifneyam Vieda, not when the results are like this. This is not democracy. These people don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable what we're up against. If you want another tidbit on Yitzhak Ben Aaron, so here this Mapamnik and anti. So lo aleinu, in the 1990s, the newspapers, the reporters discovered that one of the top students in the Gush is his grandson. So, and the kid didn't want any publicity. It's not like the Haredim, the famous Haredim, whose grandfathers, who I don't have to tell you who they were. And they wanted publicity. They became Jews, total Jews. So, but the reporters couldn't interview the kid. The kid just said to them, I made my choices. My grandfather made his choice. They went to the grandfather and they said, how do you feel about your grandson? A top Talmud of Rav Yehuda Amital, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. And he says, he's all wrong. I totally disagree with him. Even in his 90s, Edgar Blibben, who he was, unbelievable. So I want to dedicate this shiur to Miriam Peretz, and I'm humbled, absolutely humbled by her talk. I understand that the Minister of Education already ruled or decreed that every school, every high school, will study the talk. And I hope it'll be, I'm sure it'll be translated into English, into French, into Russian. Every Jew in the world should have access to this talk. Then I want to say something very important. Kol masecha b'sefer nichtavim. We're living in a world where everything that has been said, that has been done, everything is now going online. So I don't know who discovered it, but evidently it's, listen, I would have answered the question. I spoke about this years ago, and I take for granted people are listening to me for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but it's a new audience. The Rav, Yom Ha'atzmaut, Hallel, the Rav evidently, the recording's in Yiddish, so I would imagine this is at Maria. He also spoke about this in Yeshiva. And you see, the Rav had a tremendous struggle. And Jacob, I have to be honest, I have a similar struggle. How do we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut? Herbie, Hanukkah, what do? You light candles. Purim, what do? You hear the Megillah. What do we have for Yom Ha'atzmaut? How do you celebrate Tisha B'Av? Koruk Kiruma Moed Lishporet Bachurai. It's also a Moed, alright? We have Kinat, Eicha, Leining, Kitolid Banim, etc. How do we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut? And we have struggled with it for 70 years. Planes are beautiful. I don't want to put down planes, and the Bible contest is beautiful, and giving prizes to Jews who do a lot, to the citizens of Israel who do for the state of Israel. Everything is beautiful. But we have to have a religious celebration in depth. All right. So, of course, Hallel, and this recording of the Rav is talking against Hallel. I don't have time to go into it. I could spend weeks. I did 40 years ago in the Kollel. Hallel, HaMacharev, Megadev, the Gemara and Shabbos. You see, let's talk like Lamdanim. Some of you sitting here have smicha. You learned well. I trust you're still learning. How do we have a right to talk to God? Who the heck are we? Do you think you recognize this? You don't buy the Rebbe's Torah, okay?
No, I buy
Yitzchak. So the Rebbe says, "Mimamakim, we have to talk to God because we suffer. That's the heter to talk to God. But when you talk to God, so now here, look at Yomo. Yomo started davening this morning at 7 o'clock. He loves the Ribbono Shel Olam so much. He's barely finished davening. He added to the Shmoneh Esrei. He added to the Teshira for Tishbapat. Tell me, Steve, are you allowed to do that? Absolutely not. If you start adding, then it's chutzpah. So we're only allowed to say what the Anshei Knesset HaGolah were metaken. Otherwise, there's no end and there's no start. Okay, so Hallel. Yitzchak, give the Rebbe a chance. So Hallel, the Rav you have on tape. I got so many copies. People from all over the world. the Rav, he's opposed to saying Hallel. Okay, he's opposed, we don't have a formal takana. The problem is greater than that. The Kibbutz Adati came up with a whole concept in the 60s, already into the 70s. They took the model of Tisha B'Av. What is Tisha B'Av? Churban HaBayit. What is Yom HaTzmut? On the way to Binyan HaBayit. We're not there yet, but what we do on Tisha B'Av, we have to do on Yom HaTzmut. No, what do you do on Tisha B'Av? Hallel is minor. You have a laning. No, you have to lane. You have a haftorah on Tisha B'Av, right or wrong. A seif ha-sifam. We have to have a laning in this. So what happened in the yeshiva, in the Morgenstern building, I was already living in Israel, but the aftershock was so great that we heard about it here. It's before computerization. It's the 70s, perhaps late 60s, early 70s. The Rav, it's a Wednesday. Yom HaTzmut fell on a Wednesday that week. It can be checked out. If I'm wrong about Wednesday, then it was a Tuesday, a Sunday. But I believe it was a Wednesday, a day when there's no Kriyat Torah. And the Rav in the Morgenstern building, there are a number of minyanim, as you know. And the Rav came out of his apartment, went down to the minyan, and this minyan, Bnei Akiva, was running. And with the Rav there on a day when there's no Kriyas HaTorah, they read the Torah and made brachat. My dear students, this is enough to give a Talmid Chacham, a briska, an epileptic attack. The Rav went berserk. And Shia that day, Aryeh, you don't even know about this. It's like ancient history. The Rebbe's living it. To you, it's ancient history. The Rav went berserk. And there's a recording of the Rav in English where he said, how can you have Kriyasadar? So it's a real problem. The rabbinate came up, I don't have to tell you, I daven with a minion, with a yontiftik minion, and we begin with the Shir HaMalot and the Tehillim, and part of the Chododi, right or wrong, part of the Chododi, Migdash Melech Yemelucha, Hitnari Meyofa Kumi, Zer Hayom Asah Hashem. Then we daven Marav, and after Marav, there's Kabbalat, Ol Malchut Shamayim, it's like Yom Kippur, right or wrong, Yitzchak, where did you daven? Did they daven like this or not? Shema Yisrael, Kiyat HaShofa. So you see, we struggle. To the Rav's mind, these concepts are raw, alien. What are we talking about? What does it have to do? Even worse, Yontif morning, Chagat Smut, and Yom Yerushalayim, and my shul, and I told them they're a bunch of Amayorids, boors, ignoramuses, it's Migehelt and the Atitan Bankers, nothing helps. They say, Psukei Dezimra like Shabbos, right or wrong. Psukei Dezimra, gentlemen, do you have a halachic understanding or are you dummies? Psukei Dezimra like Shabbos is when there's Kedusha Tayom. The Shaila is how come on Hoshana Rabbah we say? And if you're a good Jew, you shouldn't say it on Hoshana. I once said to a Yekka, I once said, a guten kvittel, pitkit tova, he wanted to kill me. What kind of boor are you? Eza maritzata, tama min b'kabbalah b'shtuyot kelu, mazeh Hoshana Rabbah. Yeah, Hoshana Rabbah, we'll find any, show me a reference in the Gemara to Hoshana Rabbah, the way we celebrate it, all right? But the Kabbalistic concepts took over, Chassidei Ashkenaz, so all right, Hoshana Rabbah, Melamed Zchut, it's Chol HaMoed. No, is there an Issa Melacha in Chol HaMoed, right or wrong? There is some Issa Melacha.
Rabbi, this whole thing is a miracle, so what they do, I agree with.
It's a miracle.
You have to
go
through the
Holocaust. Herbie, no one differs with you. Relax. So, one second. So, I have to... Please. People ask my opinion from all over the world. To them, Rav Soloveitchik does matter. Baruch Hashem. So I have to tell you, halacha lemaisa, here's the way I would celebrate the Chag today. And number one, with Hallel, it's an open Gemara. Kuf Yud Zayin Omer, this is what all the Achronim wrote, the Rebbe Meshulam wrote, more than anyone else, the Mekom Avaseh. This is the Gemara. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. V'chachamim omrim. Neviim shebineichem. Did I tell you the Gemara? It's Pesachim. Did I say Pesachim?
No.
Okay, so I tell you Kuf Yud Zayin. Stop me. Pesachim Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Down towards the bottom of the page. This is the whole Sugya and Hallel. V'chachamim omrim neviim shebineichem tiknu lehem Yisrael. Sheyahay omrim oto al kol perik v'perik v'al kol tzara v'tzara shelo tava aleichem liYisrael u'kishen nigalin omrim oto al geulotam. This is an open Gemara, and it means when we have a big Yeshua, we have the right to say Hallel. It's already a takanet hakamim. It's built in to what the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were metakein. And I would say to Rebbe, Fukhazima Amadava. I would say to Rebbe, Imlona Vimhein B'nei Nevimhein, quoting the Gemara in Brachat and quoting the Gemara in Pesachim. Today the state is 70 years old. I don't believe there's a minyan in the state of Israel which doesn't say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaot. All right, I don't make a bracha. And I tell everyone, I don't make a bracha because I'm a Talmud of the Rav. And the Rav was later, he modified his stand. He was not opposed to Hallel, but he said, don't make a bracha. If the Rav had his way, he would say Hallel after the Kaddish Shalem before Aleinu. In other words, so it shouldn't be a formal part of the davening because he felt for that you need the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. All right? That's a beautiful way to do it, but you can't force it on Balabatim today. You can't force that. So I say Venoma Lafan of Shira Hadasha and I say Hallelujah. But I have to be honest with you, all my sons-in-law and all my grandchildren, without exception, all say Hallel with a bracha. Every minyan I davenat says Hallel with a bracha. And that bracha is based upon the Gemara in Pesachim Dafkut Yisayin. So there's nothing wrong with that. With the davening to add Mizmarei Tehillim, again, Mizmarei Tehillim that speak about Shir HaMalach B'Shuv Hashem et Shiva Tzion, Omda Tayura Gleinu, how does it go? Omda Tayura Gleinu B'Sharayach Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Habnuya, Kishachubra Lo Yachnav, Kolam Aber Hareza Meshuvach, that's beautiful. Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, Baruch Hashem, beautiful. Hey, why should we be opposed? It's always good to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Hu Elokim. It's beautiful. Baruch Hashem, beautiful. Shofar, I have mixed feelings about, because Shofar really belongs to Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, we all know that at time of Milchama, they also blew the shofar. So, all right, you want to blow the shofar, reminding us of the battles of Tzvag and Ali Yisrael, of the youth, of the army we raised, of the sacrifice we have made, of someone like Miriam Peretz. So, Baruch Hashem, I can accept it. So, the long Tehillim in the morning, the long Psukei de Zimra, that halachically does not make sense. I personally do not accept it, but it doesn't matter because as long as it takes me to say the short Psukei de Zimra, by the time I reach Yishtabach, the Kahal has reached Yishtabach. All I can do on the Chagat Smut and Yom Yerushalayim is not start 5 minutes earlier. Every day during the week I start Psukei de Zimra 5 minutes before the Kahal. On Yom Yerushalayim Chagat Smut, I can continue learning and I can daven with the Kahal. But I can understand the Rav. It's not that he's not a Zionist, not that he doesn't appreciate the state of Israel, the man who gave us Kol Dodi Dofei. But for Briska, it's difficult to accept innovation. But 70 years later, I believe Klal Yisrael has accepted, has ruled, and the Gemara in Pesachim speaks to us. I wish we had some formal mitzvah to make the day unique. That we don't have. Yes, people will say a mongol if you don't have a mongol on a cookout.
That's not a religious.
But that doesn't give the day. It's not a religious symbolism. We had a very nice Yom HaTzmut. One part of my family, everyone got together in Givat Zev, and where a grandson lives, and he and his wonderful wife, who happens to be a great an enikel of the Chatam Sofer, hosted the Yom HaTzmut Suda for that part of the family. And we were all there. It was beautiful. And I have to tell you something else. Ani modela HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Netanyahu is Prime Minister and Trump is in the White House. And I advise you to travel throughout the land of Israel and see where they're building. And thank God, Machiv Gvul Almana, in the full sense of the word. Quietly, but full steam ahead. Okay, so I want to answer all those questions. That's halacha l'maisa, the way I would handle the situation. Yeah.
The State Department has eliminated the word occupied.
Right, I saw. It's kanayin hara. And we just have to keep the army strong. We have to minimize our inner fighting. And we have to go ahead. The New York Times had a whole article on the 70th anniversary of Israel. And in the article, they call attention to all the bickering and all the fighting. But the article was honest enough to say there are two viewpoints. One viewpoint is that we can never get together. We're always involved in machlokes. The other viewpoint is, if we wouldn't be involved in Machlokes, we wouldn't be Jewish, it wouldn't be a state of Israel. And what built the state of Israel is that Baruch Hashem, from the time that Herzl had the dream, we've had endless Machlokes, and with it all, take a look where we have gotten. So the New York Times got it right to a certain degree in that article. Okay, let's come back here. Very, very important. There was just the case.
Brett Stevens, the former editor of the Post, is now an editorial writer for the Times. His latest article, unbelievable. What's
his name?
Brad Stevens, former
editor of the Jerusalem Post. Is now writing for the New York Times. Okay, good to hear. I trust.
Yeah, read the latest thing.
Send the link to everyone. Okay? All right. I want to tell you, this is making the rounds, the news, and it's exactly what we're talking about. A case came up with a lady who was married at the age of 12 against her will in Yemen. This husband mistreated her. He was much older, and this lady comes on Aliyah, and she wants to get a get. She can't get a get, and the rabbinate, the Beit Din, just paskin, she does not need a get. She was never really properly married, and according to the news, the Dayanim found 19 different reasons why her first marriage was not chal. And even though she had 6 children and came in Aliyah, they ran away from the father, they reached Israel through America, running out of Yemen, the Beit Din permits her to remarry here without a get. They don't give the 19 different reasons. But I'd love to see the truth. If anyone has access to it, if it surfaces, please send it on. Okay, we're back in Siman Yud Aleph, Eben Ezra, it's the 11th volume and the 11th Tshuva. And if you recall, we began last week, it's from 1994. It's a typical story of our times. A young man, Yud Feingold, let's say Yehuda Feingold, the son of Shirley Ruth, who mi balei tshuva hayakarim, v'zahir b'mitzvah talak hamura, v'chared l'dva Hashem, and he has wonderful nimusim, midot rumiyot, decent, upright, beautiful individual. And he met a young lady who is also a Bala Tshuva, and they want to get married. And when they were interviewed by the person who, from the, he says, Rav Shem HaNesuin, it has to mean from the religious council in charge of marriage, it turns out that the Chatan's mother, Shirley Ruth, was married more than 50 years ago to a man named Kalmanovich. And after 2 years, she left him. And it must be the United States, the court, the name Shirley could be England, South Africa, but let's assume it's America. The court gave a ruling that she is no longer married. The marriage is annulled because the man had psychological difficulties, traces of insanity. At the time she married him, she didn't know about it, and once the court annulled the marriage, she never received the get. She married someone else, a civil marriage, and this young man, Yehuda Feingold, was born from the second husband who was married civilly. The mother never had a get from the first husband. And the shaila is, it appears, he may be a mamzer.
No,
what does that have to do with Yahadut? The Catholic Church annuls the marriage. The judge annuls the marriage. Can be a Jewish judge. A judge who never opened the Gemara, never opened the Shulchan Aruch. The woman is sitting there. She can be a frum woman, like the new one. What's her name? Freund, the Gerich Hasidah, who just became a Supreme Court judge in New York, can be a frum woman. She annuls the marriage. So what? There's no get. No get. This is the shaila. Okay. Now, you just heard a description of the young man. Listen to this description of the family he comes from. And this is why you got to give credit to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You don't push anyone away. When you went to the Rebbe and you told him, I have a problem, Rebbe, and I'm asking advice, and I have this question with this Jew who doesn't observe anything, doesn't know anything. He's totally secular. And the Rebbe would get all upset. How can you speak that way about a Jew? He's Ben Avram Yitzhak V'Yaakov. You have to treat him with respect and bring him back. Now here's the description of his family. V'hine, Eim HaBachor, the mother of this young man, Shirley, and the entire family, Chavshiyim Legamrei, Prutzim Ba'arayot, Umumarim Lechalel Shabbat B'Pachesia, Umeolam Lo Tavla L'Nidata, V'Ochlim Nevelet V'Treifot B'Pachesia. Wow. This is American Jewry. This is not just the Lower Leinu. This is part of North Tel Aviv Jewry. Look at that description. You don't go to mikveh, boel bilat asurat. Open marriages. Have you heard this expression? Or what's the other one I learned in the New York Times? An alternative lifestyle. Yeah, Ribbono Shel Olam. Shabbos, who ever heard of Shabbos? Not to ride, not to do malacha? What? I'm a free person. The world is mine. Why kosher? We have standards today. Food is healthy. Everything is inspected. Factories are inspected in a civilized world. This is her family. This is his family. The Ilu, Habakua Hazen Shehu Bal Tshuva Shleima. And the young man, who is a total Baal Tshuva, is crying. He wants us to find the Heta. He wants to marry Kedat V'Kedin. It's the story of our generation. You know what's very fascinating now? And Rav Avadya says, in this question was brought before Rabbi Yecheskel Ross. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Cheskel Roth, I don't know if he's alive. Anyone can inform me, please. If this is the Rabbi Cheskel Roth, he was the Av Beitin of the Satmar Beitin. Fascinating. How does it come and show you that this is really from the Haredi world? And Rabbi Cheskel Roth, if this is the one that I'm identifying properly, because all that Rav Avadya says, Mechabes Shel Tshuvat Emek HaTshuva. So it has to be checked out who the author is of Emek HaTshuva. But this is Rabbi Cheskel Roth, and as far as I know, the Av Beitin of Satmar, and he permitted the boy, the Helala Hatir Lebakur Hanal Lavo Bekahal. And he permitted and published the tshuva, V'arich b'zeh b'yad Hashem hatova alav. So evidently this young man who goes before a Beit Din in Brooklyn winds up in Israel, and here he appears before the Roshen Nesuin. He evidently showed them the tshuva Rabbi Cheskel Roth, but it's referred to the Batei Dinim here, and it's referred to Rav Ovadia Yosef. And here Rav Ovadia, in a long tshuva, puts together suffek on top of suffek. Above all, here's a woman who's totally promiscuous. If a woman is totally promiscuous, there's no concept of Taret Mishpacha, no some concept of Kedushin v'Nesuin. Who says she only lives with Jews? When she's living with someone without the sanctity of marriage, Rov Bilut can be with a guy. The Goyim are the majority. And Goy Haba al Bat Yisrael, the child is kosher. And once you have one suffek, he already is a suffek d'oraita. It's a chumba d'rabbanon. D'oraita, the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, and this is real Kri Beirapu, it's axiomatic to Psak Halacha, mi d'oraita, lo yavo mamza bekal Hashem, lo yavo mamza vadai bekal Hashem. Lo yavo mamza bekal vadai. Here you have a suffek, so it's already a rabbinic law. We have one suffek. But then we come to the heart of the tshuva. And here, of course, we get involved with the entire modern question. Some of you remember in 1975, there was an earth-shaking machloket. I believe it began in First Hall, was where it took place. It was a YU rabbinic alumni conference, and Rabbi Rachman took on Rabbi Soloveitchik, and then Rabbi Soloveitchik took on Rabbi Rachman, and we still feel the outflow of that tremendous machloket. And the machloket, you see, the Gemara, you can get all the sources here in the tshuva. But it's Gemara at the end of Baba Kama. What happens when a woman has to have chalitza? And the man who has to give a chalitza or give her yibam wants liyabemota. And he's a mukachshin. He's ugly. His face is all broken out. His body is covered with sores. Whichever way you want to interpret it. He's a polio victim. He limps. Tell me. She says, I married my husband who was well and healthy, and now I have to live with a man who is detestable to me. Almanat Cain, I didn't marry my husband. It's like, Abba, you follow? It's like the woman is saying, Mekach Tad, exactly. And so the Gemara says, Tav lemeitav du me lemeitav armala. This was the heart of the machlokas, Mori Rebbe and Rabbi.
No,
it's tafkafir. But all the sources are here. It's much more than that. It's the Otsav Poskim. There's so much material on this question. But it begins with a basic question. A woman wants to marry. A woman wants to marry more than a man. A woman doesn't want to be left alone. How do we say it in Hebrew? Ravaka chamutza. But about a ravak we say ravak aliz. A happy bachelor. And how would you translate a ravaka chamutza? A bitter, a caustic woman who doesn't marry. What's the word for a woman who doesn't marry? Do we have a word like that? In Hebrew, it's spinster. Spinster. Correct. Rabakar in Hebrew. Somehow in Hebrew it spells out more to me. Rabakar chamutza. Is this true? Why does a woman want to marry? Why should a woman want to marry? Why is a woman anxious to run off here, all of us? Marriage, so important, more so than a man. Why? Okay, now you have a basic question. This seems to be a reality, that women are more anxious to marry than a man. I've seen women cry to me that they're not married, they missed the boat. I don't know, men don't cry. Men make peace with the situation, unfortunately, too easily, too happy. Okay, but why? Why? So one way to look at it is, this is ontological. Ontological, a fancy word that the Rav taught me, it's part of creation. It's part of creation. Built into the human psychic. That we'll put it that way. It's human nature. It's like a boy. You want a boy. My wife always gets upset when a grandchild is too well behaved. The boy has to be a little wild. I have one grandson, he calls my wife, whenever one of his children does something naughty, my wife has to know. She's all happy. A girl has to be respectful and docile. All right, is this really human nature? This is the whole question in the crazy world today. If I buy toys for a boy, I buy the boy a plane. And the girl, I buy a doll. The New York Times will go crazy. I'm prejudiced. I should give the girl a gun and give the boy a doll. You understand? What are we talking about here? Is this built into creation? Or no, it has nothing to do with ontological reality. It really is a result of sociology, of social factors, the way we grew up, the way the world is made, the way we live. What am I talking about? Very simple. Men went to work. Women didn't work. Women stayed home. The woman needs the man. She needs the support. She needs the ketubah. What is the ketubah all about? I've been at weddings where the man gave the woman a ketubah and the woman gave a man a ketubah. With my own eyes, Shira Hadasha people, Talmidim of mine, I've been to, I couldn't believe my eyes.
But the text
Baruch Hashem, the texts are different. But you understand what I'm saying? This is a sociological factor. We can go on and on. A woman needs the man to protect her. The world challenges women. Men don't want to be vulgar, want to hit upon women. You need a man to protect you. So of course, better to have any man than to have no man. And this is a tremendous basic question. How do we view these concepts? Tav lemeitiv dume lemeitiv amala. The Gemara takes it as a chazaka, as an assumption, which has halachic implication. The woman will do anything to get married. A woman will be happy to marry a man 10 years older, 15 years older. Or no, this is not a result of sociological realities. Women can go to university, women can have PhDs, women can make a living, women can make more money than a man, but a woman wants to have a husband. It doesn't want to be alone. Very fascinating question. Tremendous halachic implications. Mori Urebi took the attitude that this is ontological. I remember asking Reb Aaron Lichtenstein, saying to Aaron, explain to me Rebbe's position. Chazakah do change. We all know the Gemara says, Ein Adam Asa Bilato Bilatznut. And today, we don't apply that Chazakah. Today, with the breakdown in standards and life in the Western world, we cannot say that because a boy and a girl, Lo Aleinu, live together on the West Side, that they are married. Could you imagine the problems we would have if we would apply the Chazakah, Ein Adam Osa Bilato Bilatznut? A man does not treat his sexual relations indiscriminately. And if he lives with a woman, it's for the sake of marriage. We'd have endless mamzeret problems. So you see, this is a very delicate problem. So Reb Aaron said to me, no, the Rav recognizes that Chazakah may change. All the Achronim say it. But this particular Chazakah, the Rav felt, was not built upon a social reality, an economic reality. It is part of creation, part of the very psychic, the very deep emotional, psychological feeling of a human being. And a woman wants to marry more than a man. And there's, all I can tell you is, I did my own research, and my wife had two aunts. Father had a number of sisters. Two of her father's sisters never married. And these were typical American girls raised after World War I, raised in tremendous rebellion. Malkus' grandparents on that side were Belzach Siddim. Malkus' great-great-grandfather was the great-great-great-grandfather was the Shliach Tzibor for the Shah Shalom, for the first Belzer Rebbe, for Reb Shalom Rokach. He was the Shliach Tzibor. Listen to what I'm saying. And these kids grew up, don't ask the rebellion, Ad Kedei Kach, they didn't sit Shiva for their own mother. When their mother died, when their father died, they didn't sit Shiva. Ad Kedei Kach, and they didn't marry. But in their old age, we were quite friendly with them, and we would visit them when we would be in Florida. They were in a senior citizens there, and both of them said the greatest mistake they ever made was not marrying. Very interesting. So here are two independent people, part of this new world, the world of Clinton and JFK and Obama, and everything that it stands for. And they said, it's a big mistake. We had our chances, and we were, don't want to use the word, but I would use the word, too arrogant. Too arrogant. Who needs a man? We're self-supporting. Make our own decisions. Need no one breathing down our back. Now, this is the heart of the issue between Rabbi Rachman and the Rav. The Rav felt ontological. Nothing changes. Rabbi Rachman said, modern times, women work, women don't need men. And of course, if you take Rabbi Rachman's point of view, it opens up a tremendous Pandora's box. Because then, Rabbi Rachman says further, if you have a marriage and the man won't give a get, and the woman is an aguna, so the woman can say, I never married, I would have never married this man. He's vicious, he's cruel. You have a man who doesn't make a living and he doesn't want to give a get. The woman can say, I would have never married this man. I didn't want to marry a man who doesn't make a living, disgraces me, is a beggar, can't hold on to a job. By the way, I know I know families that broke up over that very issue. All right, the get was given. But you don't know the harm it did to children and grandchildren. Hashem Yirachem, from people 40 years ago when divorce wasn't so prevalent and popular and accepted. Man doesn't make a living, he can't hold a job. And this particular man was a good neshama. He was too good. He was in chinuch. And it's very hard. Sometimes you have to say no and you have to be a little bit obstinate. He didn't have that ability. And he couldn't hold the job. He was a principal of day schools, etc. And his wife, at a certain point, walked away. 6 children, didn't matter. It's sad, and you know the impact it had. And this is a very delicate question. According to the Rav, according to Reb Moshe Feinstein, they came out against Rabbi Rachman. Chas v'chalila, you open up a Pandora's box. So many people walk away from marriage without a get. Where do you draw the line? And if you take Rabbi Rachman's thinking seriously, and the Rav said this, I'm paraphrasing him, what do you need the last 2 prakim in your Vamat? What do you need all the laws of Aguna? If you're going to take this thinking, a woman can say, if I would know that my husband would disappear, not come back from battle, be lost on some airplane that was never recovered, a boat that capsized in the water, I would have never married him. Where do you draw the line? Very delicate issue. However, there's no question that on certain levels, everyone will agree that a woman did not want to marry under these circumstances. It is a mekach ta'ut. And one of the levels on which everyone agrees is mental illness. To paraphrase the Gemara, this is in the Ketubah, you'll see all the sources in the Tshuva. To paraphrase the Gemara, Ein Adam Da Bekvifa Achat Im Nachash. You can't live with someone who is mentally ill. It is stressful, it is harmful, it is dangerous. Mental illness. And Reb Moshe already had a Tshuva like this, and the Abi Omer has it now, and he gives many other sources. If the woman did not know that he was mentally ill, that he was under psychological care for 5 years in this case before they got married, it is absolutely permitted to say there was no marriage here. It was a mekach ta'ut. This is something that 99% of women will not tolerate, do not want, cannot live with. And mental illness, if you've seen it up close, believe me, it can be not just difficult on a daily basis, but sakonet nefoshet, in the full sense of the word. And lo aleinu, in the state of Israel, with all that we've achieved in 70 years, we still suffer every year a number of cases of spouses killing their spouses, generally husbands killing wives, lo aleinu. You know that you have here homes set up for women who are battered. You have religious homes. I know one of the donors, they won a lot of money in a lawsuit in New York, and all the money was donated to set up, I believe it's called Bat Melech, the beautiful name. And you can't believe, these are women from Haredi families, women from real religious Dati families. But when the husband beats you and threatens to kill you, you have to run away to save your life. And this is a very big opening for Mekach Ta'ot. Okay. Very fascinating question. Yes, Yomo.
There's
mental illness, there's mental illness. Asperger's, I think it's called, does not qualify to say there was no marriage. It's a problem, people, you know what Asperger's, it's named after the doctor who described it, I think he just died. I know a couple that broke up. Two medical doctors. I mean, Dafka, very intelligent people, but the wife couldn't handle the Asperger's. You should know all men have a slight amount of Asperger's in them. It's an open Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tiltala de gavra kasha me itata. That for a man to shift gears is more hard than a woman. I can give you a simple example. Arye, you get a call today that there's a place, a performance of Fiddler on the Roof, and your wife wants to go. And you say, I have classes, I have this appointment. Your wife says, I canceled everything. Why can't you? You understand? She can do it easier than you can. Take my word for it. It's an open Gemara. Tiltala de gavra kasha me'itata, an open Gemara. And so it depends. You know, you can't say mental illness. Right, there's a certain amount of Asperger's of people who can't shift gears, who are very set in their ways, who everything has to be exactly so. It's a form. It's what do they call autism? It's not as pronounced, but it's a milder form. That's what it. That's the best way to describe it. But all right, you're almost right. I wouldn't call that a source for divorce. You need to get. But there's mental illness. This is the whole case, the famous Epstein story that we heard so much about from Lower Merion Synagogue, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., a recent case. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky was mocked here without a get. He refused to give a get, refused to give a get. I don't know all the details. The tshuva was never published. But from what I understand, they proved that he had mental problems with seeing a psychologist or a psychiatrist before his marriage, at the time of the marriage. She did not know. That's what I understand. Don't quote me la halacha, because unless I see with my own eyes all the testimony, but I certainly feel that Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is reliable. He knows what he's doing. We're not dealing with a lightweight here. We're dealing with a top quality Talmud Chacham who is also a posek, Rav Shmuel. So you see, you have to differentiate. But this is certainly grounds here. Mental illness, 5 years. Mekach Ta'ud. Yes.
Now, Rabbi Rackman was a powerful
person. 100%.
He was not a conservative rabbi. He was not a reformer. So what he's saying is what just was done. That it was he felt that Mekach Ta'ud is a legitimate reason.
No.
I don't know. I'm sorry to say, I agree with Rackman, I don't agree with
the law. No. Everyone agrees Mekach Ta'ud can be a legitimate reason. The problem here is how far do you expand it? If we take Rabbi Rackman's approach, it almost becomes endless.
But what is his
endless
approach that's so terrible?
If Chazal seem to be against it, look at the Gemara, look at Yavamba. Chazal and I, you talk like a statement like that is not a Torah statement. Chazal were worried about Aguna. If you take Rabbi Rackman's approach, there's no Aguna left in the world. So you see, you can't just say Mekach Ta'ud.
No, on the, he had a Beit Din, and they decided that they, in this case, that case, yes.
That was the problem. That Rabbi Rackman's Beit Din was much more wholesale than Reb Meisher and other poskim. So the case of mental illness, there is unanimity. There is no machloket. There's one other case to it, there's no machloket. We'll come to it. But beyond that, very hard to say, if I would know that the man had a temper like this, I would have never married him. Could very well be the woman would say, well, I know he has a fault, but I'll try to help him develop better mental tactics or better mental health over the years.
But she thought mistakenly she could change it.
Right.
And she found out she couldn't.
And on that basis, there are 5 children, and you're going to say they were never married. It's not so easy halachically.
Was Rabbi Rackman a posik in the class of Rav Moshe?
No. Rabbi Rackman's not in the class of Rav Moshe, but as Yitzhak said, he was an elochiyit. But okay, this case here, you don't have a machloket. Reb Moshe and many other sources, mental illness, no woman in the world wants to get involved. Now there's another factor. And here, let me enliven the Kelas, Baruch HaTov, and HaMelech HaLam, Shekhan Yevid Vero.
Amen.
There's another factor. Gentlemen, let's go back to 1978. I'm in Boston for a long weekend. And on Shabbat, I go to Rebbe's house, where Rebbe was staying for Shabbat, 10 Hancock Road, if my memory is correct.
Right,
in Brookline. And we spoke and learning for hours. Now, what's the difference between 78 to 58, 57, when I was first as Talmud? The difference was that in 57, Avi, I knew next to nothing. You're getting smicha. Well, no, what do you know? No, no, a few simanim in your adaya, and we'll say 100 daf gemara, okay? Do you know how big Shas is? You know how big Shulchan Aruch is? You know how big responsible literature is? It's a lifetime of learning. If you stop learning, you're going to remain an American rabbi. If you continue learning, you're going to rise further and further, and you won't need any title. You understand what I'm saying? Your learning will speak for itself. Okay, now Abi's top quality. Don't.
No, I'm talking about
Yitzhak. Yitzhak has been learning. He comes to Shia how many years already? 18, 19 years. What do you want out of him?
He knows anything?
God, with friends like Herbie, it's like you don't need enemies. come back here. So now, but watch. In 78, I know something. So now I'm talking with the Rav on the most difficult questions I get teaching Torah in Yerushalayim. And of course, one of the questions, the Mamzerit question, haunts us kids from America, kids from Russia, kids from irreligious backgrounds. Their mothers were married here, there, everywhere. Civil marriage. So here there's a tremendous machloket, Reb Moshe Feinstein versus Reb Yosef Eliyahu Hankin. If people have a civil marriage, do they need a get? Bidiavad. Reb Moshe says no, Reb Hankin says yes. Reb Hankin says marriage is not judged by frumkeit. Marriage is judged by reality. If a couple wants to live together, he quotes the Rambam, looking Perek Aleph Hilchot Ishut. You'll see the concept of marriage. I'm quoting the Rambam. Ratzahu, Ratzahi. They went into a cave. They lived together. They're married. That basic human concept does not change with Torah. Torah elevated it that you need kesef or shtar or bia l'shem kedushin. But that means if you have relations, and people who get married civilly certainly have relations, you're married. You need a get. Reb Moshe held, no, intercourse is a halachic concept. And it has to be b'kedusha b'tara. And if you're not from and you just had a civil marriage, the biyat are biyat's milt and do not make a marriage. And this tremendous machloket, the world was shaking. Now, if you take Rav Henkin's point of view, you're going to have, right here in this building, I can guarantee you, you're going to have kids who have a shaila of Mamzeret. Right here in this building, there are endless kids here from Torah Traga, even in the Kollel, that are sons of Balei Tshuva, the grandparents. They could have been married, civil marriage, no get. The shailas would be endless. The Russians, you would have shailas on a half million Russians, at least. All you had in Russia, basically, was civil marriage.
But you don't have to wait on civil marriage. Most people, do they get married when Reform rabbis?
Yeah, Reform rabbis, no different than civil marriage.
That's
the Reform of, that's Reb Moshe, it's no different than civil marriage. So I said to Rebbe, who do you agree with? And I have to tell you, the Rav agrees with Rav Henkin. So I took it one step further. You follow me? I took it one step further. I said to Rebbe, well, if that's the case, what do we do in Israel? We have all these kids, Balei Tshuva, Russians. What are we going to do? Their parents were married civilly, never got a get. The mother never got a get. These from the second. What are they, Mamzerim? So I said to Rebbe, maybe it's different when the shaila is on the child, not the mother. And I have to say, Rebbe agreed with me lahalacha. What am I saying? There's a big difference. If a woman comes to you, who is married civilly, and didn't get a get, and she wants to remarry, it's a shaila v'eshetish. It's a chiyuv mitat beitin, adultery. A chiyuv karet, spell it out, call it by its name, adultery. If a kid comes to you, and he's a mamza, wants to get married, what's the worst? It's a love. It's not karet. It's not a chiyuv mitat beitin. It's a love. By a love, if we have room lahakel, sveikat, particularly by Mamzei Rud, when it's a Safek Mamzei Mutami, the right to Lavo Bakal, maybe we can be lenient. You with me, Dov? The Rav said, you are right.
Is this your chap or his?
Well, no, it's my chap, but not I. It didn't originate it. I see it in the tshuva. I put it to Rabbi, that I agree with you. On that level, you're right. So Baruch Hashem, if anyone quotes, and I've heard people quote, the Rav is machmir with civil marriage, please don't create mamzeret. The Rav is machmir with civil marriage, lachatchilah, and even b'dieved, he would agree with Rav Henkin. If the woman wants to be married without a get, he would not permit it. But if the kid wants to marry, there we can be more mekel. Gentlemen, Rav Ovadia says this exact svara right here in the tshuva. And he says, yes, it's a machloket, and the whole question, when we deal with mamzeret, and we deal with the woman, and we deal with her remarrying, and we deal with tavlamatev tandu, but one thing we see for sure, when it comes to the children marrying, we certainly can be more lenient. The chumra dachka be'isa chamur shel eshet ish. Avol, when it's a mamza and we have a suffolk, we absolutely can be more lenient. So you see, here too, Rav Ovadia is adding to the leniency that is involved in this particular question, where there's a mekach ta'ut, and we're trying to understand the psychic of a woman, the feminine mystique. Fine, that's in relation to the woman. But in relation to the kid, it certainly is a suffolk, and we can certainly be more lenient, because there's not a chi of mita, there's not karet, there's not chi of mita, there is only a lav, and once it's a safe, midioraita, there's not even the lav. Wow. Alright, this is Rav Ovadia. This is the Rav, this is my talk with him, and you can apply this right down on the line on all these questions that come up and haunt us. But it's part of life, the gathering of the exiles, 70 years. Look what's happened here. Look how many Jews we have here. Look what's projected. It's overwhelming. Anachnu modim laKadosh Baruch Hu. We certainly have to say Hallel. It's overwhelming. 70 years, and the miracle continues on.
Now, when we say the woman wants to be married,
yeah,
we know that, and she had a civil marriage before. What's the best solution?
The Batei Dinim here, all over the world, Paskin LaHalacha, if she can't get a get, they'll permit her to remarry. Everyone is Samach on Reb Moshe. It's not just Reb Moshe. There are many more Poskim as well who agree with Reb Moshe. The Mitrat Yitzchak essentially agrees. Others, one after another. So the Batei Dinim here try their best to get a get. But if they can't, they'll permit it to remarry. They're samach on Reb Mano. Listen, Reb Moshe is a posek mufak. I don't say Reb Henkin is right. The Reb was not a posek on that level. The Reb was a brisker Rosh Yeshiva. Reb Henkin was a shtat Reb, was a posek mufak. But I don't know, bizman hazeh, people treat their sexual relations. It's not the Kedusha B'tara. It's lo aleinu. Even in our world, I don't have to elaborate. You see, Rabbanim, the scandals we have, it's very frightening.
And tefillin dates are the West
Side. Tefillin dates are the least of it, but look at Berlin, look at the Breslov, look at well-known Rabbanim, I don't want to mention other names, shuls, look at Yerushalayim cases, look at up north, and what hurts more than anything, it's right across the board, it's Charedim, Datiyim, it's beyond words. So I don't know, today, if I'm willing to say any of them, I said bilatot bilatznot. There's a lot to say in defense of Reb Moshe Shita. Okay, then we come to another problem, which is a problem in many different areas in Shas and Paiskim. What are we talking about? How do we know that the man was insane, that the man had mental problems? The court ruled. Gentlemen, who the heck is the court? What status does the court have? I want to understand this. Ribbono shel Olam. A court ruled. No big deal. What? When? Where? Judges. Bribery. Who can we depend upon? Even in the state of Israel, you just saw a judge of reputation. She consults with the lawyer. The lawyer tells her what to do. These are judges. All right, very fascinating question. This question comes up in Gittin, the basic sugya. Shtarot, Gittin, Arkaot, recognize the topics. Here, I'll go even further. Herbie, when you're in the United States, do you eat Häagen Dazs ice cream?
I happen to like it.
Herbie and the Rebbe both love Häagen Dazs ice cream. Absolutely.
Häagen Dazs is a made-up name.
I understand. I'm not worried about Häagen Dazs. I'm worried about something else. You eat Häagen Dazs ice cream. That is made with real milk. Chalav Akum. You can't kvetch out of it. With the other ice cream, you can say is made with milk powder. Milk powder, there can't be any problem with Chalav Akum because milk powder didn't exist when the Gezeirah was made in Chalav Akum. It's a recent invention. But real milk, Gayusha milk? So Herbie will say to me, what's the problem? The problem? They put in giraffe's milk.
No, they don't.
They put in pig's milk. They put in donkey's milk. They put in horse's milk. So Herbie will say, the government inspects. Right or wrong? You know how many should have been written on them? The government inspects? Tell me. I'm paraphrasing your question. What do you want out of me? I love Häagen Dazs, but I'm asking a serious halachic question. You're samech on the New York State government, on the New Jersey government, on the Pennsylvania government, that you can bribe, you can pay off. It's the same, you follow me? The same question here. Kashrut, you're samech on Heinz? Heinz, tremendous plans. What do you think? There's a mashgiach standing over every can? Ah, so we have a klal. Uman lo more al umnate. You can do a doctorate on this. That a person who has a reputation doesn't want to harm his reputation. All of civilization has to work on this premise. If not, we're a backward country. There are countries where everything works with graft, with bribery. But an honest country, the United States, I would hate to think that pig's milk is reaching the market instead of cow's milk. Honesty, dignity, society, this is basic to human existence. person is a judge? Person is an inspector? Uman lamari al umnate. And this is the tremendous cloud that no judge is going to do something illegal to get himself thrown out, to wind up in jail. Is it foolproof? Absolutely not. But 80% of the time, 90% of the time, I would like to believe in a democracy like Israel, in a democracy like the United States, 95% of the time. Uman lo marei alumnatei. And that's what we're samachan. And you should know that all of the hashkacha in the world today, and you've got to give all the credit to what the OU began, we'll talk about it in the Monday class, all of the hashkacha, hundreds of thousands of products are under supervision. Uman lo marei alumnatei. And I can tell you, the OU never, ever had a problem with Gentiles. I was once at the OU when, I believe it was Heinz, they were running a dinner in honor of Heinz, celebrating 75 years of Hashgacha. And you should see the Goyim from Heinz with such derech eretz and meeting the never, ever had two problems in the OU, both with Jews. One problem with the Mashgiach. One problem. Never with Goyim. It's an amazing. You know the problems with the Jews. Who's here from Chicago? What was it called? Kosher dress, kosher best. The dress poultry. With this Puerto Rican kid or Caribbean kid, he knocks on the door and the rabbi, Erev Yom Kippur, and he says, "Rabbi, my conscience bothers me. There's something wrong. I work for this Jewish man. He has a kosher plant. You supervise it. Your people supervise. And sometimes at night he calls me and I have to drive him elsewhere. We fill the car and we take it back. Something's not right and it troubles me. I spoke with my priest. There was a whole story. You don't know this?" And he said, the priest said, "Go to the rabbi." That's what I was told. I don't know if the story was ever published, but you all know, oh, this was a real story. So they set up spies. What's happening? It turns out that unknown to the Chicago rabbinate that was giving this guy hashkacha, and it's a very reliable hashkacha, he had a second plant. Not kosher. And in the middle of the night, he was bringing dressed poultry from the treif to the kosher. It's a Jew. The other story with the Jew is a frightening story. Riches, riches. The parav knew what's the big secret in making riches. They have it here in Israel. They have a plant here too. It's amazing what you have today. Pesach, I could get riches with. It's amazing. What's the story with riches? The lactose. So they have to use an artificial, not a milk product. The artificial product costs twice as much as the milk, but that's what makes it parav. So the vice president in charge of purchase, the highest ranking Jew in the rich corporation, was buying milk and pocketing the difference between the parav to what the milk cost. Anyway, the scandal, they found out, and the police were called in, you know, the guy, and this and that. It's quite a story. He was indicted, ready to stand trial, and his daughter was getting married. And under the chuppah, the guy had a heart attack and died. Under the chuppah, b'fnei Yamri Eda. Those were the two terrible scandals. The other scandal involved the rabbi who was touching money. And the OU said to him, "Either you pay back every penny you were going to the police." So he did. He sold this. He's no longer alive. So this has was a whole Rachmanis, a whole sad story.
I discovered that.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I was the controller at that time.
Kol hakavod.
And I called up Herb Miller about it.
Kol hakavod, kol hakavod. No, it's a whole sad story, because I know that person. He was a big Talmud Chacham. Rachmanis, he was a Yerupeisha. evidently never totally adjusted to the American scene. I mean, well, that makes
sense. You're talking about his character now, not about his oneness.
Dove understands what I'm saying. Let it stand. I don't want to identify. Let him rest in peace. It's sad. But the OU never, ever had a problem with Goyim. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of products. And even in China, they tell me the Chinese are the hardest to deal with because they're out to do shtick and to cut. But when they finally make a deal and you tell them, Al-Rachel Bitcha Ktana, Omen Lamorei Al-Natei, you don't want to run the risk of ruining your business, ruining your reputation. And therefore, the courts, the judges, the papers, the case, the mental illness, you can absolutely depend upon the secular court. And here at the end of the tshuva, Rebbe Ovadia brings proof, and this is very fascinating. I write about it in Rakafat Aaron Chelik Gimel in a different context. But I'm going to ask you a different question. Again, you never thought of this, but this is all interlocked. Ask you a different question. Lo aleinu, in the 20th century, millions were killed in battle. Millions were killed. Hundreds of thousands, in Russia alone, hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed at the front line. Now, how do you know someone is killed? Many times you don't get back a body. How do you know? How do you identify? How do you sit shiva? How you mutter the woman to remarry? No, you have to see how you find out. You get a telegram, lo aleinu, from the army. You get a telegram. With that telegram, you have to sit shiva. How do you believe them? And here too, unbelievable amount of tshuvot written in modern times, one after another. Can you believe the letters from the army, the telegrams from the army, the notices from the army? And we're talking American army, Russian army, and here too, the exact same principle. If anyone were to lie, the whole chain of command would come down upon him. An army can only function if there's truth. If you don't have truth, you don't have a chain of command, you don't have discipline. The whole backbone of the army is dissipated. And the army, 100%, you can depend upon notices from the army, lo aleinu, that someone was killed. Now, again, I can't say this is infallible. I don't want to go into all the detail, but you all know the Gemara in Yevamot, the dummy, that at a time of war, there's tremendous... how many of you have been on a battleground? I've been on a battleground, lo aleinu, more than once. A battleground, you have no idea the confusion, you have no idea the noise, you have no idea... Cannons are shooting, artillery is shooting, helicopters, planes, there's pandemonium. Again, you know, you train for battle. Those of you that were in the Israeli army and you did basic training, you can train and train and train. You never know what's going to happen in battle because training is controlled, it's organized. In battle, it can go haywire. All right? The army is prepared. It's something we have to take into account. There's shell shock, there's battle fatigue, etc. But how do you know? Bididami. So I don't say it's infallible, but 99% of the time when the army identifies a body, you can depend upon that identification. They know what they're doing. Now, let me just go one step further again. You know where else the Shaila comes up? Okay.
You don't have to wait for the body to return.
What do you think, that they returned bodies from France? They were buried temporarily, of course. After World War II, bodies were... Same thing here. During the wars, bodies were buried temporarily. What you know, the last thing in the world you want to do is send bodies back and have funerals that would undermine the whole feeling, the whole confidence of the population. Say, during the Zalot Pashut, during the Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War, there were temporary burials near, and then afterwards they were reburied. And, you know, many people said, we buried our children twice. It's Zalot Pashut, God have mercy. It listened to Miriam Peretz's address. It is classic. It is one of the most famous talks that our Jewish people have heard since Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain of Sinai. I don't know if she wrote it alone or it was help, but the woman is a genius. And see the way she was raised, where she comes from. What a talk. What a talk. I was in Kibbutz Zev, I told you, we celebrated Yom HaTzmut there. So there are two shuls dedicated in memory of her sons. It seems the family is from Kibbutz Zev. And two beautiful shuls dedicated in memory of her sons. I want to go one step further and end off, but I want you to walk away today that you had the Chaticha Haru'uya Lehit Kabeid Bar. You have something, you can take this and do a doctorate on it. I'll go one step further. I'm in the Rabbinate in Maplewood, New Jersey. Okay. Dov and I share a common heritage here. So you should know, we're building a shul, new shul, and pulling together Balabatim. And one guy has a camera. And whenever we have a synagogue affair, Herb Donner would take pictures, and we would always say to him, Herb, leave the numbers out. Can anyone tell me who Herb Donner was, Zichrono Levracha? The official photographer for the Newark police. That's how he made a living. If you recall Newark, there were plenty of bodies floating around. The Italians, the mafia, the element that came in afterwards. Hey, wait a minute, he's the official photographer. What happens from the time photography is invented? They fish a body out of the water. Immediately you have to take a picture, right or wrong. Can you identify the dead on the basis of that picture? Can the police be believed? Everything that goes with the picture, with the background, where it was taken, who, what, when, where? That's also, I spoke about 72 hours, 3 days, less, does it change? Or was the water cold? Does it preserve the body? You follow? You should know, Shavuot from the Netziv of Elushim, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, and here too, Umnan Lomori al Umnate, that if the police take pictures, they have a special photography department. These are experts. They know what they're doing. They know how to take a picture. They know what part of the body to photograph. They know how you can identify. La halacha, you can absolutely depend upon photography that the police will send you. They have to be honest. They have to be legitimate. Uman, a person with a reputation, lo morei al umnate, and la halacha, Rav Avadja Paskins, absolutely can be samach on the police department, absolutely can be samach on the courts, absolutely can be samach on the psychiatrist, on the testimony. This lady does not need a get b'di eved. She certainly married a man, and it was mekach ta'ut. The marriage is nullified, and even if you want to say maybe with the lady we can't nullify so easily because a woman's psychic is different than a man, but it's only a shiloh of the kid remarrying, this is a love. And we certainly can be makel here where there are sveikot, and he introduces the concept of who says she only lived with this man. Maybe she was totally promiscuous when she lives that type of lifestyle. And the majority of people are Gentile. Gentile does not create Mamzeret. Add to that the second concept of Mekach Ta'ut, and you certainly have room, the Hatir, this young Baal Tshuva, Makpid, Kalakachach Hamura. And you see, this kid, we don't know where he is today. For all we know, this kid is living in Geula, has a long beard, payas, black clothes, has 8, 9 children, and these kids will totally integrate, be part of the Jewish people, and we go further. And this is the miracle of the ingathering of the exiles. Now, I just want to go one step further. Can anyone tell me? I have a feeling that Reb Usher Weiss has been selected to take Reb Yisrael Belsky's place as the second posek of the OU. I heard a rumor and I have a feeling about what I'm going to tell you. If anyone knows, let me know. If it's Reb Weiss, Usher Weiss, it is a great, great blessing. He is an outstanding individual. Here, what I'm about to give Yitz. Kvod Yedid Napshi Hagon HaGadol Rab Tzvi Shech Teshlita Rosh Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan New York. And it's evidently a shayla that's come up right now. It's evidently, again, I'm reading between the lines, the shayla is that there's this big business, factory, plant, evidently under the hashgacha of the OU, because otherwise why should Rav Shechta be asking this question? And who is he asking? Rav Usher Weiss. And it seems that they found that during Pesach, it doesn't give you all the details of what type of factory, but I would imagine it's talking about a factory that sells cookies, let's say, that are imported from Belgium. In Belgium, they make these Lotus cookies. So I would imagine if you import them to America, you import a ton of Lotus cookies, and then you repackage them in America into small packages with English, right? Ready to sell. In Israel, the Lotus cookies are you repackaged, and it's in Hebrew. During Chol HaMoed Pesach, they found that they were working on repackaging the cookies. And they turn to the owner, it's Pesach, what are you doing? And the owner shows them his contract with evidently the OU, and it says, Asa lemifal liknot l'mkal l'sapek l'shavek chametz b'chol yimei ha-Pesach. Avol lo nichtav she'asur lechem le'eroz. What a shayla. Interesting. It tells them what they can't do, but it didn't mention specifically you can't repackage it. They don't. I would love to know, are these Jews involved? What type of plan? Anyway, this is the shayla. The shayla of Chomet She'ava Alav HaPesach.
What's his answer?
He's Matir. He's Mekil. And it seems Rav Heschel also wanted to be Mekil or was in doubt. And now with Rav Usher Weiss, according to what I understand, they're not eating it. They don't own it. It was sold to a guy. Everything was done halachically. What they're doing is, I would call it a Maisa Kof. It's an automatic Maisa. The machines are doing. Do you get it back? No, it's not yours. It's the guy. You're preparing it. You're preparing it for after Pesach. All right, look, you'll see. He's no Tel HaKel that this is not Chametz She'ava a Pesach because it was sold to the guy. Imagine now the beer shiler in New York, and now I don't know what type of cake this is, but now it's a question of frumkeit. Do you drink the beer? Do you eat the cake? But interesting, who Reb Heschel turns to with the Shaila. So if he comes into the OU, that will be fabulous. He's a wonderful Talmud Chacham, a mensch, a posek mufhak. At one time we had a nice relationship with him in the Kollel, because there were Talmidim in the Kollel who went to his Sheyurim. But I don't know, Arye, anyone going today to Rav Asher Weiss's Sheyurim from the Kollel?
Yeah,
Jonathan Dorfman. What, excuse me?
Jonathan Dorfman is writing a sefer on Rav Asher Weiss.
On?
He's doing a Hilchot Nida, Minchas Asher for him. They have a once a week.
Very nice, very, very nice. Jonathan should be well, strength. Okay, let me give out the freebies. These are the ones on 19 reasons why they were matir, but they don't give me the reasons. I would like to see the tshuva, maybe it'll surface. If anyone wants, this is Sariel Birnbaum. I have 4 different copies of what my Talmud wrote. This was 45 years ago, Madrid and BMT. Wonderful, wonderful individual. I spoke about him last week, and he went out on Yom Kippur, and he didn't come back. He was killed the next day, the Sunday after Yom Kippur. Beautiful. And Normie Gold, who writes this, he was very close to Sariel Birnbaum. His mother wrote poetry. I made a cheshbon. If Sariel would be alive today, he would be 70 years old. To me, I see him as a youngster, and wow, he would be 70 years old today. This is the New York Times, an article by Shmuel Rasner, the luckiest Jews in history. Who is Shmuel Rasner? Does anyone know him? Is he the brother of the Rabbi Rasner in Beit Shemesh? It's about Israel and where we're at today. A very nice article. This is something I mentioned last week, DNA, and a person was freed from jail. Believe it or not, I got an article here that one of the first cases where someone was freed from jail because of DNA was discovered, and my Talmud, David Gleischer, was the lawyer. And they got a lot of publicity back in 1997 when they came up with DNA and got someone released who was rotting away in jail. This is an article on Harry Potter, which I can't believe they're putting on a Broadway play, $68 million to bring it to Broadway.
In England, too.
The most expensive Broadway non-musical play ever. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. I tell you, for a success story in modern times, nothing equals Harry Potter. The authoress was on relief, I understand. Didn't have a penny to her name, and she's the wealthiest woman in the world today. This is an interesting article on the Yankees, on Giancarlo, who is hitting less than Aaron Rakefet could bat, and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with this most valuable player. And believe it or not, they claim he has no furniture, he's moving, he has no apartment, he has no place to go back to. Here is an interesting article, New York Times again, how do athletes' brains control their movements? And research is being done how you move and how it affects your hitting, your throwing, your batting, and this can play a big role in helping players do better. And finally, very moving, your grandfather saved my grandfather, meeting the Sugiharas at Motel. Do you know what Motel, M-O-T-L, stands for? March of the Living. And at the March of the Living, just now, a grandson of a Shanghai survivor met a grandson of Senpo Sugihara. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss anything for all the matzah that Manashevitz will be baking for next Pesach, meaning tomorrow morning, Shir, 9:05, at this very same venue. Thank you so much for coming in. Tui mit again, in health and happiness, and best regards to all those listening across the wide expanse of the Jewish universe. Das Vedanya. Amen. Amen.